The book of Revelations, the sixth chapter. And now we'll read verses 12 through 17. Supporting scripture coming from Daniel 7, 13, and 14 that you've already heard in your hearing this morning. But as we look in the book of Revelation, the sixth chapter, beginning at verse 12, the Bible reads, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a straw when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bound man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Supporting scripture coming from Daniel, the 7th chapter, the 13th and the 14th verse reads, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" On the basis of those verses, we'd like to propose a question to you this morning. When it's all said and done, where will I stand? When it's all said and done, where will I stand? Personalize it. We're not pointing the finger this morning. But where will I stand when it's all said and done? There are so many things that we find ourselves asking him for and we want him to do, but all we have to do is just trust that he is an all-knowing God. And it is a fact that he wants us to ask him for the things that we desire. But at the same token, we have to also understand and believe that he is already aware. So just in case you don't know what to ask him for, God is able to give us just what we need. The song said that he's on the way. And that on the way is to do some of the things that you've asked him to do. But do know that he's already here. Because the God that I serve promised that he would never leave me, neither would he ever forsake me. So even in the midst of my asking and my waiting, God is always right by my side. So I serve a right now God. I serve a God that is able to do what I can't do myself. I serve a God that can do what mama couldn't do, daddy couldn't do, and nobody walking around on two legs is able to do what God has done for us. And I don't know about you, but there's something about the Lord that just intrigues me. There's something about him that makes me want to know him better. There's something about God that makes me understand that he is a higher being. I believe that I come from somewhere, and I believe that was the dust of the ground. But I understand that without God, I'd still be nothing but clay. Without God, I would not even have the breath in my very body. Without God, we would not even be able to move. So being that we are alive, being that we are able to move, we ought to be about our Father's business. And about our Father's business, we come just to give him praise and thanksgiving and worship for the fellowship of being together one more time. I thank God for the fellowship of the choir this weekend. For every now and again, we call it the reunion. For every now and again, we need to get together while we're yet still counted amongst the living. Life in itself, it separates us. It takes us to different places in the world, but home will always be home. And it's good to be able to come home and to share the love of Jesus one with another. One thing is for sure is the fact that we all belong and serve a great, mighty God. And the God that we serve is worthy this morning, worthy to be praised. And when you get in your mind that it don't take all of that, when you see one that is praising over and over again, let us be mindful that you just don't know that out of all the praising that you do, you still can't praise him enough. If you were to come into this holy place of worship and from the time of the beginning of service to the conclusion of the benediction and you were just full of the Spirit of God and full of the power of God and whatever God was leading you to do, do know that you still can't praise him enough. Because when you think about it, if it wasn't for the Lord, where would we really be this morning? We think about the measures that we may need to take in order for us to survive in our troubled economical situation. When it seems as though instead of things getting better, they're getting worse. And when we look at things in that matter, on the one hand, it triggers the enemy into full force of manipulation. Because at that point, the enemy is very apt to try to rob you of your joy. He will feed you some negative things. He will make you begin to believe that you are not going to arise from where you are right now. When you are at your lowest point, that is when the enemy decides that I'm going to step in and I'm going to plant some seeds to make you real or think that you're not going to be able to get out of the mess that you're in. But how many of you know that we serve a God that understands exactly what you're going through? And it doesn't matter how many times the enemy try to rob you, nor how many times the enemy will try to throw wicked vices your way, God has a way of taking care of all of us. So we got to understand that even though the enemy may not try to manipulate your mind into thinking that it's not worth all of that, that it don't take all of that to serve God, you got to learn how to offer your body, as the word of God says, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, this morning we want to personalize some things because we have a mindset of always worrying about our neighbor. But we got to learn how to work out our own soul salvation. We got to understand in times like these, even though things may be stressful, even though you may not have some of the things that you feel like that you need, God is able to change things. Think about it. On the other hand, as a believer, this gives us more trust to remain in the power of a mighty God. As a believer, we know that God will make a way somehow. As a believer, I know that God won't leave me hanging out there. God will come to my rescue. As a believer, I can say just like David, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. See, you got to have that personal relationship with God to know him as your personal shepherd. And the shepherd watch over the sheep. The shepherd takes care of the sheep. The shepherd will lead the sheep to food. He'll lead the sheep to water. He'll put a shelter around the sheep. And any time the enemy comes about, the shepherd have the power to protect the sheep. I'm glad to be a sheep this morning. And the Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. Do you hear the voice of the Lord ever speaking to you? Heard a mother from Charlotte say on last night and testified to the fact that there was trouble in Washington, D.C. But she went on to let us know that her God is bigger than Washington, D.C. So you got to know who your God is. You got to know where your strength comes from. You got to believe in the word and the power of God. Don't get caught up in the system. Even if you're already in the system, don't pull your hair out because they say they're going to take this away. Whatever they take away, God got something that he can give right back. And then don't beat yourself up over things that you cannot change. That's why it's so important when we declare, get out and vote and to do this and to do that. That's why you got to get up off of your lazy do nothing and go do what you got to do. For in the aftermath, when things began to change, Then you began to wonder, they doing this and they doing that, but you didn't do your part. It's time out for blaming somebody else for where we are in life. Whether it's in our normal life, in our everyday life at home, or whether it's in our spiritual lives, we need to stop pointing the finger. We need to stop trying to find some blame. If you don't know anything about God by now, and you've been coming into this household of faith, it's nobody's fault but your own. You're not going to make me walk around with my head hung down, thinking that I have not did what I'm supposed to do. See, God gave me a job to open up my mouth and to share the good news. And after you hear the good news, you got to respond to that good news. I can't make you get it. I can't make you walk. I can't make you do nothing. You're in here this morning because you wanted to come to church. So why did you come into God's house this morning? I look the same way I looked last week. But somebody came to give God praise. Somebody came to tell God thank you. Somebody came to say the devil is a lie. Don't never stop looking to the hills, knowing that that's where all of our strength comes from. Because I'm glad I belong to a great God. I'll be glad that he is the only thing that I can really depend on. And when I think about the God that I serve, it lets me know that there is a better day coming. In this life, you're going to have some trials and tribulations, but you ought to know there's a better day coming. I love to sing that song every now and again, there is a better day coming. Because I realize that whatever is going on today, it's not going to last always. Anybody ever realize that it's not all the time about trouble? Not all the time about being broke? Not all the time even about the feebleness of our bodies? But every now and again, you ought to just have a mind just to talk to God anyhow. Anybody woke up this morning wanting to tell God thank you? Anybody thought that the newsman knew what he was talking about? And we might have had snow and not be able to be in the house of God. But when you woke up and saw the sunshine, did you tell God, thank you, that I can come out to the house of God? Hallelujah, Jesus. We ought to be glad to be in the house of a mighty God. For a few moments, I'd like to plant a seed, of thought, to any and to all of those that can hear and understand. That seed is for you to consider where you as an individual, where are you going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ? Most importantly, at the day of his wrath, will we be able to stand? Be mindful. Having your name on the church roll does not guarantee you an opportunity to stand. Paying your tithes and your offerings does not guarantee you an opportunity to stand. Because I found out that you can't buy your way in. In fact, you can't even work your way in. But out of all of your good works, the Bible that I read says that we are still nothing but filthy rags in the sight of a mighty God. So don't get caught up in the fact that you got a gift. I got a gift of gab. I can talk. There's some that got a gift of singing. There's some that got a gift of healing. There's some that got a gift of just spreading the peace and love of mankind. But whatever your gift is, the Bible that I read said we got the same gift giver. So wherever you got your gift from, that's where my gift comes from. So now what gives you the mindset that your gift is any better than my gift? And what makes me think that just because I've been given an opportunity to stand in the front of God's people and open up this big mouth of mine, it does not make my gift any better than your gift. You are my brothers and sisters. I am your servant. I'm not your king. I'm not your dictator. I am a servant of the Most High God. And I got to understand that when it's all said and done, and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I got to answer for what God told me to do. So those of you that allow others to keep you from feeling the goodness of God, for those of you that use the excuse that they're hypocrites over there or they're dry over there, check yourself. How you know they're a hypocrite? Because they don't do it like you do it, don't make you right. Some of us are more disciplined than others. But how many of you know we're all a work in progress? Every one of us got a flaw in our lives. I don't care how many times you stand before the mirror and try to pretty yourself up. At the end of the day, you're going to look like who you are. You can dress up the outside and be messed up on the inside. Despite what we look like, despite the underhanded tricks of the enemy, you got to have a mind that God is still in control. Everything has its season. There's a time and a purpose for all things. And I found out that our very lives in general has purpose. God made all of us in a very unique kind of way. And we are all a very special creation, created in the image of God himself, endowed with a mind to think and a heart that we are able to feel. Let alone his very breath is within us, so we are living souls because of God. Now, because we are living souls and because we know that we're going to have trials and tribulations, remember Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I've already overcome the world. But I come to remind you that he is still the God with all power. He is still Jesus, King of kings. He is still Lord of lords. He is the one that sits above every nation and every earthly kingdom. And one day every earthly kingdom shall be destroyed. The Bible declares that our Lord will reign as king and have dominion will be given unto him. That he would have all power over the earth. And the earth and his kingdom shall never, ever be destroyed. But let us look this morning at a dream that a man by the name of Daniel had. Daniel being one of the minor prophets. Daniel we know to be a dreamer. And not only was Daniel a dreamer, but Daniel could interpret dreams. So now, in our text this morning, we see that Daniel spake and he said, I saw in my vision by night. Behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. So in Daniel's vision, visualize, if you will, the open sea. And out of the sea, four great beasts came from the sea. They were different, one from another. The Bible says, the first was like a lion, had an eagle's wing, and beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and were lifted up from the earth, and made stand unto the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to this beast. Behold, another beast. The second beast looked like a bear, raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. So in other words, he told the bear that the bear was going to get up and tear up some people's lives. After this, I beheld then another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. And the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. But now let us look. As he saw in the night vision, there was a fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, strong, exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It divided and it break in pieces, and it stepped the residue with the feet of it. It was diverse from all the other beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Those 10 horns, the Bible say, came up among a little horn. Before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. In this vision that Daniel had in the night watch, it seemed more like a nightmare than a dream. But it was a message. And the message was to let Daniel know that all of the four kingdoms were going to be destroyed. The four empires of Babylon, Persia, and the Greeks, and the most importantly, the Roman Empire. Now, the first three were going to be spared, but they was not going to have any more power. You see, sometimes God will allow you to go through the motions, but you just don't have any power. That's where the false prophet come from. They know the word of God, but they don't have any power. Because God, in his power, took their power away because of misuse. You see, when you don't use what God gives you in the right fashion, when you don't do things decently and in order, God has a way of coming and snatching back the very gift that he has given you. So you got to learn how to be about your Father's business. The Bible declared that in this dream, he also began to visualize the coming of the Son of Man. He said, I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man, came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. There was given him dominion, glory, and the kingdom that all people, nations, and languages to serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not ever be destroyed. See, we got to understand, when we look here at the coming of Jesus, we look back in the days of Brother Daniel, we realize that it was nothing but a prophecy. He prophesied about the coming of the Lord. Prophesied about the fact that there was going to be someone coming that was going to take dominion over all of the land. We got to understand that this God that he talks about, it is true and is alive in our lives on today. When he speaks of the Ancient One, he's talking about Jesus the Messiah. Don't you know that we got to realize that what he was giving them was hope, that you might be in a bad situation right now. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? You might be in a bad situation. Your life is all seemingly falling apart. Can't seem to get things to work out in your faith. But you know that you serve a mighty God. And I come to let you know this morning that one day the God that you serve, the one that sits high and he looks down low, he's going to be right there by your side. He's going to be the one that you need in the midnight hour. He's the one that I came by to let you know that if you trust the power of a mighty God, if you know that God is on your side, you better trust the power of God this morning. For I realized that I heard another man say, his name was John. And as John began to talk about the opening of the seal, he opened up the first seal. He opened up the first five seals. But when he got to the sixth seal, he began to let us know that at this time, when everything is getting ready to go, I beheld and I saw when he opened up the sixth seal, and there was an earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth.
The moon became his blood. The stars of the heaven fell upon the earth. As the fig tree began to shake its fig leaves off. As the mighty wind of God began to blow. The heaven began to depart as a stroll. And all of them that were there under the mountain, all of them that was under the island, began to hide from the Lord. Said, oh, mountain, fall on me. Oh, rocks, fall on me. I want to hide from the presence of the mighty God, the one that sits on the throne of God. Anybody in here this morning, know that you cannot hide from God. You got to know that God is right there. He knows everything that you're going through. And I stop by to let you know that when that blessed day comes, when the moon turns to dark and the moon turns into blood, we got to know that time is near. Everything is going to come to an end. And at that blessed end, the question is this morning, where will you stand when it's all said and done? When the Lord has done all that he had to do? When the enemy thought that he had you, but God came back into this kingdom life with all power in his hand. I want to know this morning, do you have any idea where you're going to stand? I'm not worried about my brother. I'm not worried about my daughter. I'm not worried about my granddaughter. But I'm worried about my soul. When it comes my time to die, and I stand before the judgment seat of a mighty God, he is the judge. Get all power. When I stand before him, I want to hear him say, well done. But if I don't do something, if I don't be about my father's business, all of this preaching, all of the singing, all of the shouting, all of the running will be in vain. But I heard that a man called Jesus died on Calvary so that I would have the right to the tree of life. I heard that I wouldn't be able to stand before my God as a clean vessel if it had not been for the Lord whose blood washed away my sin. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The scripture said, what can wash away my sin? Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of the mighty God. They strung him high. They stretched him wide. And I'm glad he died. But on the third day, he got out the grave. All power in his hand. And one day, he's coming back. I want to see him in the air. I want to see him. I want to go with him. I want to be with him. Because in his kingdom, it will never end. It will never be destroyed. Everything is going to work out all right. But in that great day of God's wrath, what will your answer be? Where will you stay? Where will I stay when it comes your time to stand before God? When all of the prophecies have been fulfilled, when Jesus sits on the throne as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and when he takes all dominion from every nation, every language, every king, every president, everybody that thinks that they got a little bit of authority, God is going to take all of that power back, and there will be only one king. There will be only one that we need to answer to. And if you don't believe it, do know that unless you die before that great day of his wrath, you're still going to have to stand at the judgment seat. For the Bible declares that it is appointed unto all men once to die, and after death, the judgment. Now, as far as we know, no one in here is dead. I don't guess. But the fact remains
that it's a surety and it's a reality that we are going to die. Now, I don't know where you live here, but you need to make a choice. Where do you want to spend eternity? Because when it's all said and done, if you're not able to stand, hell will be your eternal home. So you need the right answer this morning. Now, understand this. None of us are in a position to declare what your destination is going to be. It's up to you. You can hear me, any minister. You don't even have to hear nobody. You can read it for yourself. If you're a television person and you're getting it off of the television, it doesn't matter where it comes from. It's not going to change. It doesn't matter what vessel it comes through. It's not going to change. The reality is God wants us to prepare ourselves to be with Him. He created us to be with Him. We are His special creation. And as you heard the prophecies, thousands and ten thousands and ten thousand times thousands that stand around the throne. But don't you know that there's a burning fire that will hinder you from being able to get too close to the Master? But when the Lord says come, all you got to do is go. There will be no hurt, no harm that will ever come to you when you're in the hand of a mighty God.